Religion on the Line, 2 hours of exploration into the world of spirituality, faith, hope, love, or the hot buttons of today. Talk about it now, 576-7710. And now, Religion on the Line.
Good morning. You've got Religion on the Line here at KCMO Radio. 710 AM, 103.7 FM, and also 1440 AM, KMAJ. We're glad that everybody is listening in today. I'm Reverend Robert Lee Hill, Minister Emeritus of Community Christian Church, along with
Bill Scholl with the Archdiocese of Kansas City, Kansas, along with
Rabbi Michael Zedek, Rabbi Emeritus, Temple B'nai Yehuda.
Well, this is an interesting fact here. If you turn over the responsibility for feeding Americans, just Americans, not the world, guess what every religious congregation in America would have to add to their budgets for the next decade to make up for the cuts proposed in the forthcoming budget? Guess, you know what it is? $714,000 per year.
Each congregation,
would need to do that. Yep. And this is an analysis provided for Bread for the World, which is nonpartisan and great entity. This is on June 21st of this of last month. Anyway, that's a topic. How are we going to feed ourselves and how best to feed? We actually have enough food. We don't have a food production problem. We have a food distribution problem. And also we may have a moral problem about who we believe deserves food. But anyway, was at a convention this last week, called in a little bit last Sunday from Indianapolis. And it was remarkable for several reasons. Number one, I actually went to some workshops that were the best workshops I've attended in eons at a convention. Went to a worship workshop with a person who is from Kansas City originally, Marcia McPhee, but she's attained a national status, is a professor at San Francisco Theological Seminary, and she did a workshop. She's got a great book called Think Like a Filmmaker, Worship Design, and she is just remarkable. She was a dancer and a singer that kind of hung out in New York. She came back to Kansas City, to her hometown, and went to St. Paul's School of Theology, eventually got a PhD in liturgics, one of the few people in the country with such a PhD. And man, we had a simulation of a communion service, a simulation of a baptism, and a simulation of an opening call to worship. And I got teary three times in a row. We had a baby dedication without a baby. We had a communion without the elements present, and she choreographed it. She designed it. We sang it, and it was just marvelous. I mean, she is at the top of her game.
Bob, for the listeners who only have radio, can you give a little more of how that was attained?
Yeah, let me talk about the context. There are some worship contests, let's say, we won't call them wars. Do you use screens or no screens?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
She was challenged by a colleague to do a liturgy for communion without screens and without paper, meaning so you didn't have to refer to a missal. And she had a leader and herself go through it, and through motion and through, and she described how some things could be on the screen, like communion elements. There could be some music playing in the background. But she motioned us together, and the language that she used was so evocative. Our movement to surround the place where communion was going to take place was so cohesive and fluidly done that you go, boy, I mean, we've got the presence of God and Christ right here without even having communion. I mean, it was amazing. The baby thing was the baby dedication, which we don't do baptisms of infants, but we do a presentation at kind of the temple, Michael. This is very much Hebraic or Jewish in its origins, the presentation of the child for blessing and dedication in that tradition. Baptism comes later when you really have at the age of accountability and you can say what for yourself what you believe. But it was beautiful. And I was the father of the family, by the way. She picked me to come up out of the crowd. And we sat there, and it was as if we were having a baby dedication. I mean, it was just marvelous. And she, I will tell you, she knows how to use music. One of the things that was compelling is she is one of the reasons she's such a good presenter, I think, is because she was such a good singer. And I did not know that about her. I knew she was a great dancer. She does liturgical dance. Less that now and more singing because she's older. But, boy, the music that she knows how to use was beautiful. And she knew the best contemporary music. There's a bunch of contemporary music that's just hard to sing. And yeah. As my friend says, Jesus is my boyfriend music isn't going to go with people very long. You know, it's just not going to make it. And so this had great integrity, some nuance in it. It would, you know, many people who were at that workshop said that it was one of their highlights of the entire assembly. So there's that. And also, we elected a brand new general minister and president. That's the title for our head of communion, as it's called in the circles of those leadership discussions. Our head of communion is a woman named Terry Hord Owens, and she comes from Downers Grove, Illinois, where she was pastor of the First Christian Church there. She's African-American and thus made some history as the first African-American female to be a head of a communion in North America. If there are other places in the world that have such leaders, that'd be great. But anyway, we might want to hear from somebody who may have gone to the convention, the General Assembly, to say what they had, what they experienced. So it was a positive thing all around for myself and many, many other folks. So a little history there was made this past week. The other thing I wanted to put on the discussion or the fire this morning is very interesting. We've got an Episcopalian bishop in England calling for bishops to take off their mitres. Kind of casual Sunday, even for the bishops, saying that the pomp and circumstance of the Anglican Church is getting in the way of the gospel and the church being heard at all by contemporary society, and particularly by young people. That's interesting. On the other hand, you've got evangelicals like Eugene Peterson this last week. Did you hear about this, Bill, Michael?
No.
Eugene Peterson is the composer, the author of The Message, which is a paraphrasing of the Bible and maybe one of the most popular renditions of the Bible that is being used in Protestantism across the face of America. And by the way, he's got an incredibly wonderful new book called As Kingfishers Catch Fire, and they are his sermons. I didn't think anybody was publishing hardback versions of sermons anymore, but they did. And anyway, that's brand new this year. But he said in an interview with Jonathan Merritt from Religion News Service that he had come to the point where he would conduct and officiate at a same-sex wedding. The next day or two, one of the great distributors of his books raised such a protest, and the conservative branches of evangelicalism reared their, I guess, might, I don't know, and he retracted his statement. And I was disappointed. I was saddened by that. I thought he was better than that. Anyway, but I guess the evangelicals thought he was better than that when they heard that he would do that and were offended themselves. But it'll be interesting to see how that works out. Bill Timaeus was the first person to bring this kind of news to my awareness. Having done more reading of Jonathan Merritt's interview, etc., it's clear to me that he came out and said, I will do such a ceremony, and then he retracts it a couple days later. Very, very sad. Which one is it? Interesting. What would it be for you? Where are we in that evolving discussion? Give us a call at 576-7710. And we're going to go to Gene here at Religion Online. Good morning, Gene.
Good morning. Yeah, I'm sorry I haven't called in a while. I know you guys.
Yeah, long time no hear.
Managed to get along without me. I don't know how, but you did.
You know what? You know what, Gene? I'm just I'm being alerted to the clock, and we're gonna have to get along with you.
Great call, Gene.
Yeah. No. You hold on, Gene.
Hold on.
You hold on, and we're gonna have to get along without Gene for another 2 or 3 minutes. But we'll be right back after these messages.
America's Healthcare Advocate with host Kerry Hall, Sunday mornings 10 to 11.
If you are behind on your bills, then this message is for you. How would you like to have a large portion of your credit card debt or medical bills forgiven? National Credit Card Relief would like to give you free information on a proven debt forgiveness program. It's not bankruptcy. It's not consolidation. This special program actually wipes clean the portion of your debt that is forgiven. Call for your free forgiveness information now.
800-291-6670. That's 800-291-6670. Don't wait. Call 800-291-6670. Not available in North Dakota.
I'm Scott Tannen, founder of Boll & Branch, where you can get the world's most comfortable sheets for less than half of what you'd pay in the store. Our sheets are made from 100% organic cotton and get softer over time. Even 3 U.S. presidents have Boll & Branch sheets. Try them for 30 nights. If you don't love them, send them back for a full refund. Go to BollAndBranch.com today for $50 off your first set of sheets, plus free shipping with promo code SLEEP. Spelled B-O-L-L and branch.com. That's BollAndBranch.com, promo code SLEEP.
Over the last few months, politics and a bipolar economic picture have been driving markets. Both of these stories, though, have taken the investor's eye off the ball. My name is Chris Butler with Butler Lands and Wagler and host of the radio show Capitalist Pigs. Investors should be looking at the extreme valuations we're seeing in both stocks and bonds. That means stocks and bonds both are relatively expensive. Why should this be a concern? Because markets rarely do well from periods of high valuations over the ensuing 10 years. But this is a great time to evaluate the risk you're taking with your investments. Do you have too much in stocks or too much in bonds? Now, what's your plan if either of these two markets fall or go nowhere for a lengthy period of time? Maybe we can help. Download our free report at investontrack.com. and see how we use extreme diversification and other risk reduction tools to help navigate these markets in our all-weather growth portfolio. Again, go to investontrack.com and download our free report.
I ordered some Andro 400. I'm losing weight, too, around the belly, really quickly. Some of the pants that didn't fit me, now they're falling off my hips. There's been a noticeable increase in energy. Then this stuff works. It does work.
That's what Bill said after taking Andro 400 for a month. Now listen to what Richard says about Andro 400.
I did a lot of research on it before I ordered it because I've tried other products in the past and they haven't worked. But I could not believe the difference literally within a month. Since I started taking it, I have lost 37 pounds. It was the belly fat. I could get weight off, but I could never get the tummy off. Now the tummy's coming off and I have more energy than I've had in 20 years.
Guys, if you too want to lose belly fat, gain energy, and feel 20 years younger like Richard, try Andro 400, the safe, natural, and affordable way to boost your testosterone. Go to andro400.com or call 888-400-0435. That's 888-400-0435.
The myths about free trade fly around so fast that it's impossible for our debunking machines to keep up.
This is the Free Market Minute with Dr. Howard Wall.
Rather than debunking the many myths about free trade, let me give a rundown of what economics and history have shown to be true. Most importantly, free trade makes everyday Americans better off by giving us access to the best and lowest priced goods in the world. This allows the United States to focus on goods in which we're most competitive, thereby increasing productivity and wages. Also, about half of what we import is used domestically to produce other goods, so free trade means more economic growth and a higher standard of living. In short, free trade has been one of the main reasons the U.S. is as rich as it is, and will continue to be one unless we start believing the BS.
To learn more, go to newsdoneright.com. The Free Market Minute is a service of the Hammond Institute for Free Enterprise at Lindenwood University.
Stimulating talk for Kansas City.
Thank you very much for allowing average Americans to voice their opinion. Thank you for allowing me to speak on this.
KCMO Talk Radio.
Good morning. It is summertime, and we've got the Hammond B3 cranking all morning long. Here at Religion on the Line at KCMO Talk Radio, 710 AM, 103.7 FM, 1440 AM at KMAJ as well. Good morning and welcome. I'm Reverend Robert Lee Hill, Minister Emeritus of Community Christian Church, along with
Bill Scholl with the Archdiocese of Kansas City in Kansas, along with
Rabbi Michael Zedek, Rabbi Emeritus, Temple B'nai Yehuda.
Michael, I was just mentioning to Bill, I'm going to try to find this for us. There is a sermon by Frederick Buechner that he gave, I think, at a Presbyterian gathering that was at, this is a long time ago, I want to say 15 to 20 years ago, and it was a revolution and a kind of way of talking about Frederick Buechner, talking about how he had evolved on this, on the issue of homosexuality in the church and ordination and everything else. So I will try to find that for you as kind of a response to reflect upon how Eugene Peterson changed, retracted his position. So we were talking with Gene, though. Good morning, Gene.
Yes. Excuse me. I'm sorry. Anyway, a friend, he wasn't a real close friend, but he was a friend of a friend that was close. My present-day lady friend, both of them went to a Catholic school and they were up through graduation, and they were very close. They have 30-some in the class, and they still have annual meetings together. They all get together, and when one dies, they have a ceremony and all this. And they were so overwhelmed with Catholicism that some of them, in fact, two of them I'm going to tell you about, have turned the opposite direction, rejected it. It was just too much. This, my lady friend is kind of in between now. This fellow is completely turned upside down with it. He became an agnostic. I would argue with him every now and then and discuss it with him. But I'm not a very good Catholic, but I do go to Mass usually daily when I can. But I haven't been able to lately because I have a little cancer thing that doesn't let me sleep quite as well as I'd like. But that's beside the point. Mm-hmm. But this friend of mine just passed away. You didn't think he's in purgatory? Do you think he's gone? What do we think is going to happen to him?
Is that a question for Bill?
Yeah. So,
well, I don't know. Okay. Question for all of you guys.
So you had a friend who was a fallen away Catholic who died, and you want to know what happened to him? Is that what you're asking?
Yeah, but he turned into an agnostic the last 20 years of his life.
Okay.
I want to know from, well, just whatever you think.
The Catholic Church is in the salvation business. They're not in the condemning business. And that's why the church the church does declare that some people are definitely in heaven, and those the canonized saints. She doesn't declare that anyone's in hell, not even Judas, where, I mean, if you know, probably the best case when our Lord says it would have been better for him not to have been born, the church doesn't even say that Judas is in hell. So hell's a real possibility. Saint Liguori said, pray hard because life is short and hell is real. So hell's a reality, but we don't ever say, well, we know for sure that this person's, because we trust in God's mercy, and really only God can judge your friend. Only God, you know. I would say this in the course of his life, he was in communion, full communion with the church, and for personal reasons he walked away from that, and God understands everything that happened with regard to that situation, and God's going to judge with tenderness and mercy. And I personally believe, and I know there are, we mentioned Padre Pio, the other day or earlier in the show, and a friend of his asked him once, you know, how many people actually go to hell? He said, you know, there's a lot of people aren't going to like me saying this, but he said, I actually believe that that a lot of people are going to heaven just because at the end of your life, our Lord appears to you and invites you, and it's very hard to resist. So we can have hope. We can have hope. And I heard another person say that, you know, the last words you hear before you go into hell is Jesus Christ saying to you, you don't have to do this. You don't have to do this. So I think if your friend had goodwill, I mean, there's reason to hope. And as a Catholic,
he became a Buddhist. He explained to me that Buddhism is not a religion. It's a manner of life, a mode of life. Be a good person, treat your family well, treat your strangers well, that kind of thing. It's the same teaching that a Christian does it without the religion part of it. So that's what we had discussions several times, and that's what he claimed. So that he was a Buddhist because they teach proper lifestyles and that kind of thing.
Well, I would say this, Gene, that your friend is safe in the arms of God. This is what I believe about God. This is what I believe about faith. And that I hear a great aching in your voice, and I hear a great concern for your friend. And I think that's all fantastic. That's what friendship is made for. We ache for each other because we love each other, because we care for each other. And it should not be otherwise that way. We should live that way. And you are a good friend to feel that. How he is in eternity, nobody knows. Nobody. Nobody can condemn him.
Yeah.
Nobody can judge him. And that's between him and God. My understanding of God is so loving that compelling thing that Bill was saying about a minute ago, which is a projection, and a lovely one at that, is actually the reality that we will experience. I believe that. And I believe your friend is safe in the arms of God and eternally loved. I don't know if you can take comfort from that or not. And that's just...
I do. Thank you very much. That's okay.
And Gene, as one Catholic to another, we believe in, you know, we believe that we believe in purgatory, that there's this sort of in between state where you're offered salvation and you experience this joy that you've never experienced before, because you know what salvation is and you know you're going to receive it, but also you realize that you're not quite ready, you know, you're not quite ready to enter into full communion, that there's still work you have to do, there's some purification. And the beautiful thing as Catholics is that they're part of the church as well, and we can pray for them. So it's one way to love your friend is to say prayers, offer up prayers, do works of charity, works of penance. So and maybe one of the reasons you're thinking about your friend is God wants you to offer up some prayers for him. So I have friends who've passed away and in different states of communion with the church, and it's one of the ways I stay in communion with them and love them is by praying for them.
Okay, well,
Gene, we got to go now. We thank you for your call, though.
I promise not to stay away so long this time.
Yeah, call back real quick, okay? Take care.
Okay.
All right. We're going to take a break and be right back with you and you and you, who've called at 576-7710, and we'll be right back after these messages.
Despite what you've heard, the U.S. is still a manufacturing giant.
This is the Free Market Minute with Dr. Howard Wall.
You might have heard that American manufacturing is dying and that we don't produce much anymore. It's even been said that the U.S. is undergoing deindustrialization. If the death of American manufacturing has you worried, I have good news for you. It's a myth. U.S. manufacturing output has never been higher. The gross output of manufacturing industries is double that of any other sector, and is where the vast majority of research and development is done. And manufacturing is highly connected to the rest of the economy, so it's indirectly responsible for a great deal of what goes on in other sectors, such as construction, transportation, utilities, and business services. While it's true that direct employment in manufacturing is much lower than it was decades ago, manufacturing remains a backbone of the U.S. economy.
To learn more, go to newsdoneright.com. The Free Market Minute is a service of the Hammond Institute for Free Enterprise at Lindenwood University.
CBS News updates. There will be no vote on the Republican health care bill, not this week, because without the vote of Senator John McCain, it has no chance of passing. CBS's Tom Foti.
Senator John McCain has undergone a medical procedure to remove a large blood clot above his left eye. McCain is described as resting comfortably at home in good condition, but his doctors recommend he stay there for now, taking him out of Washington.
Another setback for Republican efforts to repeal and replace Obamacare, and another setback for the Trump administration. With analysis of the paralysis, Scott Lucas, professor of international politics and American studies, via Skype now from the University of Birmingham.
If you still don't get passage by mid-September, I think you're looking at the question as to whether the White House and whether the GOP leadership in the Senate are effectively paralyzed on key domestic legislation.
Procedural vote on whether or not to debate the revised Republican health care bill delayed for at least a week. CBS News Update. I'm Jim Taylor.
JCTV Storm Track 5 forecast.
Another nice start when it comes to our skies and our temperatures. A lot of us in the 60s and 70s this morning, making our way up into a warmer afternoon as highs reach the lower 90s. Sunny skies all day, turning mostly clear into the evening. I'm KCTV 5 meteorologist Ronnell Williams.
I'm Scott Tannen, founder of Boll & Branch, where you can get the world's most comfortable sheets for less than half of what you'd pay in the store. Our sheets are made from 100% organic cotton and get softer over time. Even three U.S. presidents have Boll & Branch sheets. Try them for 30 nights. If you don't love them, send them back for a full refund. Go to bollandbranch.com today for $50 off your first set of sheets, plus free shipping with promo code SLEEP, spelled B-O-L-L and branch.com. That's bollandbranch.com, promo code SLEEP.
Mandatory schmandatory. Just man up already.
This is the Free Market Minute with Dr. Howard Wall.
Federal spending is often categorized as either mandatory or discretionary, but these labels are misleading. Discretionary spending is determined annually by Congress and covers things like national defense and the spending for most federal agencies. So-called mandatory spending accounts for two-thirds of federal spending and covers entitlement programs such as Social Security, Medicare, and Medicaid that were authorized by previous laws. One shouldn't be misled by these labels, however, because there's nothing mandatory about mandatory spending. Congress can adjust the rules and formulas for the programs whenever it wants to. In fact, given that these programs are the source of our looming fiscal problems, Congress had better start using its discretion to get a handle on this non-mandatory mandatory spending.
To learn more, visit Hammond.Institute. The Free Market Minute is a service of the Hammond Institute for Free Enterprise at Lindenwood University.
Journalism is dead.
This is the Free Market Minute with Dr. Rachel Duchant.
It doesn't even matter which side you're on. Objective journalism seems to be completely dead. We could blame consumers. If it's not sensational, nobody wants to read it. But despite the Kardashian effect, some people really do want accurate information so they can make up their minds for themselves. But it's also the case that journalists used to learn their trade through apprenticeship. They tailed an experienced news person and learned from them. Now, most of the major outlets employ people with journalism degrees, but not a journalistic mindset. The problem? Universities have become deeply ideological. They've raised up a generation of journalists who consider themselves to be activists. The victim? Truth.
To learn more, visit Hammond.Institute. The Free Market Minute is a service of the Hammond Institute for Free Enterprise at Lindenwood University.
KCMO.
Listen to this.
Kansas City's most stimulating talk is on FM 103.7 and AM 710.
We listen all day.
I like being informed.
Now what we say really makes a difference.
Kansas City's KCMO.
Yeah! All right. Here we are. Religion on the line. To This is our last 30-minute segment, so do give us a call, 576-7710, here at KCMO Radio, 710 AM, 103.7 FM, and also KMAJ, 1440 AM as well. We could go all along this morning with all these call letters. Here we are. I'm Reverend Robert Lee Hill, Minister Emeritus of Community Christian Church, along with
Bill Scholl with the Archdiocese of Kansas City in Kansas, along with
Rabbi Michael Zedek, Rabbi Emeritus, Temple B'nai Yehuda.
Well, Michael, I told Bill during the break I needed to give a little shout-out to some folks that I'm going to be coming and visiting this morning. For the first time probably in 6 months, I have a tie on in the studio.
He's looking right. Very dapper.
And it's mostly because I'm going to be going to churches and talking about a voter protection and fighting voter suppression event this coming Thursday, a town hall meeting that will be taking place at St. Paul Episcopal Church. They're the host for this. The sponsor is What You Can Do and a number of organizations all across the face of Kansas City. At 7 o'clock, that's 11 East 40th Street, KC Mo, 64111. Put that in your GPS and find your way there. We will not have a dinner, but we will have some light snacks. But 57, the address again is 11 East 40th Street, St. Paul Episcopal Church. And this morning, I'm going to be going around to a few churches to announce that that will be happening, or reminding them among some friends that have allowed me to the great privilege of getting up and making such an announcement.
And that this Thursday.
That's this Thursday.
This Thursday.
The 20th, July 20th. So we've got some other callers. Here's Kathy. Kathy, you've got religion on the line.
Yes. Well, I was a little bit confused about when you said that.
Join the club.
When your friend said he would do homosexual weddings, and then he said, no, I won't do them, and you said it was very sad, and I was trying to figure out what you meant. You think it's sad that he will not do homosexual weddings?
He's not my friend. I've never met him, but I admire him from a distance for sure. He's a great figure on the American religious landscape, Eugene Peterson. He is the author of the paraphrase of the Bible called The Message. My sadness was that I thought it was a moment of evolution, and to use another kind of trigger word maybe, of his position as an evangelical on same-sex weddings. I think it's time that we recognize our gay brothers and sisters as equal people before God, and I have officiated at same-sex weddings and will do so into the future. And he had made a statement that he had progressed to the point where he would do that, and he said that. He made a declaration. You can be upset with him about that, for making that decision, and I said that as well, that evangelicals, some of my evangelical friends probably would be up in arms because he said that. What was sad to me was that he retracted his statement after uproar was given.
Yeah.
Which way is it? Are you for it or against it?
It made
him not shine as brightly in as a constellation in my world.
Sure. Now I think homosexuals can be friends and very caring friends for each other, but only a man and a woman can cross that line into marriage.
Well, and I would agree with that statement, but
I think the word that you need to say is should, because can, that's, they already do that. I mean, we have gay marriage in America and around the world, and
they call it marriage, but it's totally impossible for two people of the same sex to cross that bridge into marriage.
Okay.
Well, certainly it changes the definition, the historical understanding of marriage, and I think it, you know, I'm the Catholic, and so of course, you know, the church. I mean, the bishops have strongly opposed and actually gone so far as to say, The state does not have the authority to redefine marriage. Marriage is actually a natural institution. It's a God created institution, and the church, the state can't just step in and say, well, we're going to change the definition of marriage. The state just doesn't have the power to do that. Now, my concern is that it does change marriage in the sense of what the state is recognizing, because it changes it from a union between a man and a woman that by its very nature brings out life to the recognition of an adult friendship. So by recognizing sexual unions that have no possibility of creating life through that union, you're shifting. And one thing you never hear talked about is how does this affect children? And I mean, we could do a whole show on that. But
yes,
this is one of these culture war ones that isn't going to go away. We have various points of view, and I think if there is any possibility of our finding a common ground, I think it's got to be that each community of faith has the integrity of its faith commitment. And in terms of what Bill just argued, and respectfully, I would say that what is going on is the state is granting the same legal status to same-sex couples, whatever you want to call it or don't call it. I call it marriage.
The homosexuals marry each other because legal privileges that they have.
You got to watch about the legal thing, Kathy, because it was and I don't bring this up as an equivalency, but as a parallel. It was illegal in numerous states. I want to say half of the United States for interracial marriage to exist, and the state intervened in that it just established and said it's not only illegal, and they justified it by quoting the Bible and saying it's ungodly. And eventually there was a thing called Loving versus Virginia, and that was verified by the Supreme Court, that said no, we're going to impose on the state of Virginia the fact that interracial couples can get married, no matter what you thought before. Now, again, I'm not saying that's an identical like versus like, but it's a parallel, and you need to watch it about legality. I think Michael's perspective, or the avenue he's going, is much more doable and full of integrity for all of us. Michael, would you kind of continue and finish what you were saying?
I don't know where I was going anymore. But what I'm trying to suggest is, I don't think we have the right, when it does not interfere with me, to tell other people that this is the definition for them of everything. I think you were respectful, Bob, when you suggested to our caller that she doesn't view it as marriage, or for that matter, the Catholic Church and other communities of faith don't recognize it as marriage. But that doesn't mean, therefore, that that couple, therefore, must buy the same thinking. And if we're going to live together, that we have the right to impose it on everyone else.
Yeah.
I mean, that there is that point of view, and that is a prevalent point of view, But
it's sort of the American point of view. When we're being nice to each other.
But there's the danger of falling into relativism, where we make all truth relative, and at some point there are certain truths. I mean, the church's position is that this is not a good arrangement that's going to bring the people that enter into this arrangement happiness or fulfillment. If it was, we'd be totally endorsing it. But this is not.
Not justified by experience. What I think the church is also relying on is its general view of human sexuality and procreation, et cetera, and its understanding of what it calls natural law. But the notion that people are not fulfilled, that's wrong, just simply wrong on its face, any more than all heterosexual marriages are fulfilling.
Well, yeah, and I think we're trying to have a civil dialogue, and I don't want to, you know, there's this can of worms you can open up.
Not kidding.
Yeah.
I agree with you wholeheartedly.
So, I mean, certainly you can, it gets into a question of, well, let's look at the facts and look at the scientific studies or whatever. And mm-hmm. certainly there are people in that arrangement that would say, yes, I'm happy in this arrangement. And I would certainly grant that. But I think if you looked at the data, you'd see there's it's not equivalent. I think like in countries that do have same-sex marriage, same-sex unions between women, lesbians, it's a much higher rate of divorce. Certainly we're hearing in the homosexual community, there's a greater likelihood of faithfulness is a big, huge problem.
I'd love to see some of those studies I'm not
familiar. Well, you know,
Kathy, we've got another caller. We can put you on hold, but we got to go to a break too.
Thank you.
Okay.
Thank you for bringing this subject.
You want me to put you on hold or what?
Oh, no. Thank you very much.
Okay, right. Kathy.
Hey, thanks for calling.
We're going to be right back after these messages.
If you are behind on your bills, then this message is for you. How would you like to have a large portion of your credit card debt or medical bills forgiven? National Credit Card Relief would like to give you free information on a proven debt forgiveness program. It's not bankruptcy. It's not consolidation. This special program actually wipes clean the portion of your debt that is forgiven. Call for your free forgiveness information now. 800-291-6670. That's 800-291-6670. Don't wait. Call 800-291-6670. Not available in North Dakota.
I'm Scott Tannen, founder of Boll & Branch, where you can get the world's most comfortable sheets for less than half of what you'd pay in the store. Our sheets are made from 100% organic cotton and get softer over time. Even three U.S. presidents have Boll & Branch sheets. Try them for 30 nights. If you don't love them, send them back for a full refund. Go to BollAndBranch.com today for $50 off your first set of sheets, plus free shipping with promo code SLEEP, spelled B-O-L-L and branch.com. That's BollAndBranch.com, promo code SLEEP.
A good debate begins with the right facts.
This is the Free Market Minute with Dr. Howard Wall.
The debt owed by the federal government is about $20 trillion, and we can all agree that a serious problem like this deserves a serious and informed discussion. Well, welcome to 2017, folks, because according to a recent survey, we've got a long way to go before we can have such a discussion. For example, Social Security and healthcare account for more than half of federal spending. But fewer than 1 in 5 people think that these items are major contributors to the debt. In contrast, nearly half think that foreign aid contributes a great deal to the debt, even though aid accounts for less than a penny of every dollar of federal spending. So America, by all means, let's debate the debt. But first, let's all Google federal spending pie chart.
To learn more, visit Hammond.institute. The Free Market Minute is a service of the Hammond Institute for Free Enterprise at Lindenwood University.
Do you ever get tired of all the money in politics? I know I do.
This is the Free Market Minute with Dr. Howard Wall.
One of the reasons for all the money flowing into politics is cronyism. That is, because government has become increasingly intrusive into business decisions, market competition is being replaced with political competition. Cronyism means that political spending helps guide which regulations are put into place, which companies are allowed to participate, what wages must be paid, and ultimately, how much profit is to be made. Cronyism has become such an important profit source that investments in political activity and regulation now account for almost as much profit as does investment in physical capital. So if you want to get business out of politics, a good start would be to get politics out of business.
To learn more, go to newsdoneright.com. The Free Market Minute is a service of the Hammond Institute for Free Enterprise at Lindenwood University.
Journalism is dead.
This is the Free Market Minute with Dr. Rachel Duchamp.
It doesn't even matter which side you're on. Objective journalism seems to be completely dead. We could blame consumers. If it's not sensational, nobody wants to read it. But despite the Kardashian effect, some people really do want accurate information so they can make up their minds for themselves. But it's also the case that journalists used to learn their trade through apprenticeship. They tailed an experienced news person and learned from them. Now, most of the major outlets employ people with journalism degrees, but not a journalistic mindset. The problem? Universities have become deeply ideological. They've raised up a generation of journalists who consider themselves to be activists. The victim? Truth.
To learn more, visit Hammond.institute. The Free Market Minute is a service of the Hammond Institute for Free Enterprise at Lindenwood University.
President Trump arrives in Paris for his second European visit in a week.
France helped us secure our independence. A lot of people forget. In the American Revolution, thousands of French soldiers fought alongside American troops. Our two nations are forever joined together by the spirit of revolution and the fight for freedom. France is America's first and oldest ally. A lot of people don't know that.
FM 103.7 and AM 710 KCMO, Kansas City. If we seem a little harsh,
I'm not making excuses.
We're just telling you like it is. Kansas City's KCMO.
Good morning. You've got religion on the line. 576-7710, 576-7710. Here at Religion on the Line, KCMO Talk Radio, 710 AM, 103.7 FM. Give us a call at 576-7710. We're also at 1440 AM, KMAJ. I'm Reverend Robert Lee Hill, Minister Emeritus of Community Christian Church, along with
Bill Scholl, Social Justice Consultant for the Archdiocese of Kansas City and Kansas, along with
Rabbi Michael Zedek, Rabbi Emeritus, Temple B'nai Yehuda. Boy, that sounded like we're having church today meeting. That was gorgeous.
I don't know where Rick gets this great music, and we are grateful. That's the only thing that hadn't had a Hammond B3 organ in it this morning. He's been playing some great tunes. And Rick, you'll have to tell us where that music came from. Very, very nice.
Well, it's called Sunday Sermon by Booker T and the MGs.
Sunday Sermon by Booker T and the MGs, Michael. So you guessed
it. Well, I had the first part correct, but Booker T and the MGs, that does take us back a couple of weeks.
A couple of weeks, yeah. We're going to go to Mike. Mike, you've got religion on the line.
Reverend Doctor, Deacon-to-be, Rabbi, good morning. This is a very intellectual
question. That was a great question, by the way.
This is a very intellectual show today. You know how you can tell if you're an intellectual?
Uh-oh. No, how do you tell if you're an intellectual?
If you can listen to the William Tell Overture and not think of the Lone Ranger.
Oh, yeah.
That's brilliant. I've never heard that one, Mike. Yeah. I'm going to use that. I love that. Oh, my.
That book, I think Rabbi mentioned it, the... by the author of Sapiens?
Homo Deus, yes.
Yeah, now, have you read it yet?
I have not finished it, but I'm almost done, yes. Have you read it?
I've read Sapiens, I own that. Has he got any kind of hopeful outlook on it? All I see from AI and labor saving and stuff is income disparity and...
Yeah, there actually are some lectures that some people have sent me, or friends, about the pessimism of Was it Yossi Harari?
Yuval. Yuval Harari.
Harari, yeah.
Yeah.
I can't imagine.
The honest answer is I'm not convinced. I think he's trying to put before us some major, serious, wow, we better pay attention, or somebody better pay attention, challenges. Yeah. And he has a certain dark vision about where those challenges are taking us. One small example, he thinks when intelligence was delinked from consciousness,
which he believes is what has happened in because of technology and that everything can be reduced to algorithms. We've entered into a world, forget about our previous discussion, disputation, I'm using that word in its positive sense, about relativism. We're entering into a dark world of anything goes-ism.
Yeah. It's interesting, Mike, that you should bring this up, and Michael started this off a couple of weeks ago.
Mm.
I will tell you, I have a friend that I'm in conversation with about AI. And AI, by the way, for listeners who may not care and don't know, artificial intelligence. I mean, how much artificial intelligence works in our world today? How much will human beings be in charge of tomorrow? We begin to think about what are the things that AI cannot take the place of. And one of those we thought, and I would continue to think, is storytelling. Like 150 years from now, what will really demarcate us as and define us as human beings, as people that are created in the image of God? And we think one of those things is human beings. It's interesting, out of a British publication, I think it's an online digital magazine, they said that the top five or the last five occupations that would not be taken over by AI, the top one was preschool teacher. And I took great heart from that. That was very heartening to hear that, or at least to hear that projection.
The interesting, Bob, is when you say storytelling, I suspect that AI can tell stories, but they won't understand why we value them.
Yeah.
Reverend, have you read Thomas Ord? How do you say it? Ord, O-O-R-D, The Uncontrolling Love of God, an open and relational account of providence?
No, but it sounds like you're suggesting I might want to, huh?
It was the thing you were saying a while ago. It's not, you're not into universalism, but you got a, you know, loving God concept, you know, and it's very much like that. I'm always trying to sort out general providence from particular providence and what's nature and what's, you know, I'm always working on that. And this book was real good. It has an account of God that leaves in, you know, chance and quantum.
I like the title. I just looked him up. You said The Uncontrolling Love of God, an Open and Relational Account of Providence.
Right.
Very interesting. I will check this out. Yeah, Mike, thanks for the suggestion. We all should. So thank you.
Love the show.
All right, man. Well, take care and over and out and have a great, and go Royals.
That's right.
Okay. Well, we need them to do well because they've lost the last two games in this little series. They lost the series of the Rangers. So let's talk about something that's really spiritually important here. Yeah,
it's a call to prayer. Really, it's a call to prayer.
So, Michael, we are almost at the end. Next week, we can even project, we might be talking a little bit about healthcare.
Yeah.
And what it has to do with religious communities, maybe.
And I'd like to give a shout-out to my parents who are celebrating their 50th anniversary.
Oh, happy anniversary.
We're going to have a little party for them. So,
all right, I'm Reverend Robert Lee Hill, Minister Emeritus of Community Christian Church, along with
Bill Scholl with the Archdiocese, along with
Rabbi Michael Zedek, Rabbi Emeritus Temple Ben Yehuda, to Bill's parents and to everybody we're able to say.
God bless.
Over the last few months, politics and a bipolar economic picture have been driving markets. Both of these stories, though, have taken the investor's eye off the ball. My name is Chris Butler with Butler Lands and Wagler and host of the radio show Capitalist Pigs. Investors should be looking at the extreme valuations we're seeing in both stocks and bonds. That means stocks and bonds both are relatively expensive. Why should this be a concern? Because markets rarely do well from periods of high valuations over the ensuing 10 years. But this is a great time to evaluate the risk you're taking with your investments. Do you have too much in stocks or too much in bonds? And what's your plan if either of these two markets fall or go nowhere for a lengthy period of time? Maybe we can help. Download our free report at investontrack.com and see how we use extreme diversification and other risk reduction tools to help navigate these markets in our all-weather growth portfolio.
Again, go to investontrack.com and download our free report.
KCMO AM 710, Kansas City.
101.1 FM, KCFX HD2, Harrisonville.
Kansas City's most stimulating talk, KCMO.